I don't know what to say to you.
Yeah.
Other than that was terrible.
Yeah.
Get it together. Sure.
Hello and welcome back to Ticket A42, Australia's leading theatre industry podcast. My name's John O'Hara and I'm your host. Every month I sit down with someone fun and exciting from the Australian showbiz industry to talk about what they've been doing, what they've got coming up. And of course, they take the Ticket A42 test. This month is no exception. I managed to catch up a few weeks ago with a good mate of mine and a very successful fella, Rob Millsy Mills, to talk about his one-man show, Surprisingly Good, which is very good, and his upcoming role in Ghost the Musical, touring Australia next year. It's a really fun interview. I know you guys will enjoy it. As always, if anything we speak about you'd like more information on, just check out the website, aussietheatre.com. Matt Edwards does a great job of the information page. Loving bringing these interviews to you guys. Enjoy this one. I'll see you on the next one. Bye.
Good morning. I'm coming to you from Melbourne today, where Rob Mills, my next guest, finished his cabaret Surprisingly Good at Chapel Off Chapel last night. Hey, Rob.
Hi, mate. How are you? What a night.
What a night. Were you surprisingly good?
You know, I was pretty good. You know, we hadn't done the show in a few weeks. I've had pharyngitis for the last few weeks, and Andrew Warboys and I just fumbled through some things, made light of it.
Yeah.
It was great. It was one of the best shows we've done, and it's just nice to have my voice back, I think.
Real. And are you nursing a sore head this morning? Did you have a few drinks?
No, I had one after the show with my brother and a few friends, and that was it, mate. I had a tea, actually. It was the first thing that I had afterwards. I was like, "You're drinking tea?" I'm like, "Yeah." Start rehearsals in a month, so I need to actually try and figure out a way to get my voice back.
Brill. And so, for people that haven't seen it, you've done it everywhere. How, like, tell us a little bit about Surprisingly Good and how it came about.
So, I knew that Greece was finishing up, so I was contracted to finish in about February or something, and I was like, I've got to do something. I've got no job. So, why don't I try this? People had talked about, you know, cabaret festivals and doing a cabaret show. And I was like, maybe I could write a show about me. That's what most people write their first cabaret show on. So got together with my friend Nat Garonzi, who'd never written a cabaret show before, but she's awesome comedy writer, script editor. And I said, do you want to do this with me? She's like, yeah, Bobby, let's do it. So we got together about October last year, about a year ago. Mm. We went and stayed at a mate's house in Burleigh Heads and just for a week, just put down ideas of what the show was going to be about, and spent the next few months on Skype, me just telling my life story to her, and then her going, all right, let's find the best bits and we'll put them all down. And then she crafted the script, and then we took it to Tyron Park, the director, and Tyron's like, okay, you've got too much. Let's condense that and find the arc, and let's find the story. Mm. So instead of just saying, hey, here's a song that I like, and here's a little story that I've woven into a song. He crafted it so it was actually a proper arc and a journey for the audience and for myself. It was actually one of the best things I ever did was, yeah, get together with Tyron and Nat, and even Andrew Warboys was just instrumental, pardon the pun there, in putting everything together. It was just a fantastic team. And you know what it's like when you've got a good team to bounce ideas off, and there's no wrongs, you know, until you're on stage and you go, that didn't feel right. And then you can still change it and, you know, craft it until it's, you know, you're at the Chapel of Chapel. That dream come true.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's true. Like you said that, you know, you've been shopping it around the festival circuit this year, as have I with my show. And
did you pitch your idea to them like a year or so ago? Is that how?
We did ours in Adelaide first. So we pitched to Adelaide first, and then, we pitched.
So you got to Adelaide, I didn't get to. So now they want me in Adelaide, but, so whatever.
We've pitched, so we pitched in maybe October of last year, and then we went to Adelaide this year.
My pitch wasn't strong enough. So they're like, what's your show? It's Rob Mills, Surprisingly Good. They're like, great, thanks, we'll pass.
Not
written at all.
Yeah. Well, no, we were a little more ahead of the game at that point, but massive learning curve. But because you and I have kind of done some of the same festivals this year, and you coined the phrase for me No Pay Cabaret, which...
Cabaret Don't Pay.
Yeah.
Cabaret Don't Pay.
So I just think it's such a great thing to have done, but it's true. You don't make a whole... Like, you kind of have this... this image of that it's a successful show, but that doesn't mean you're making a whole lot of cash, right?
No, you're not making a whole lot of cash, especially if you're touring a band and paying for their flights and accommodation and per diems and travel expenses. But I knew that I wasn't going to make a lot of money for this show. I mean, big musicals often, you've been in a couple of massive shows and you put that money aside for these times in musical theatre or in entertainment where we don't have a lot of jobs all the time. I mean, some of us have been lucky, so thank you, touch wood, keep this is still going. But yeah, I knew that this wasn't going to make a lot of money, so I produced it myself and tried to just call in favors, all my friends on radio or TV, or just, hey, can we just do a plug, can you get me on the show? Or can I rang friends that were publicists or in the media saying, can we do a story? It's weird that the whole thing, if people see that you're on TV or in the papers, they just assume that, oh, you must be making heaps of coin. Like,
I know. Or you get a good review and they're like, it's a hit.
Yeah. Well, you sold out the Haze. That's cool. It's 200 people.
Not even.
I know. Cabaret doesn't pay. But at the same time, I've learnt more about myself and the industry, and I've got to say, a much more enjoyable experience putting this together and creating something from the ground up than just being in a cookie cutter show that's already been, you know, toured around the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot more, I think, creatively and emotionally rewarding.
Oh, that's a deep review. Yeah,
you've seen the show.
You do. And so I know you're booked up, which we'll talk about in a sec, for the next few months, but are there plans for it into next year? Oh, well, you've pitched it to Adelaide.
So Adelaide came to me when I was over there doing some publicity for Ghost. I had a meeting with them and they were like, I did a show over there actually, and one of the organisers said, we saw the show, we liked it, we want it next year. So
Brill, can't say too much.
Off the back of Ghost. I think we might even do the full band again. So.
Lovely. Yep. Hey, so let's talk a little bit about I didn't think it was that big because when you... The role, not anything else.
Yeah, okay. Good, thanks.
Yeah, when you were like, yeah, I just did this, you know, I just did this little bit in this Peter Allen biopic, blah, blah, blah. And then I watched it and you're bloody all over it. You and Sigrid Thornton.
Yeah, me and Siggy. Just a couple of scenes with Siggy.
So, like, it's not your first foray into screen acting and stuff, but, like, it's probably your biggest role, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I did a little bit of... I did an episode of Underbelly a few years ago and a few episodes on Winners and Losers. That was cool. But this was, I went and actually auditioned for the Brian Henderson role, and then they were like, you know what, you actually would be great for Chris Bell. And I found out the day before the script read, so I hadn't even had any material, went into the script read, everyone's sitting around the table, obviously knowing all their material, and I'm reading it for the first time. I'd come off the back of, I think, Greece, like maybe a week before. So I think I'm just having a week off.
Yeah.
What an experience. Like, Joel Jackson is just an incredible actor and singer, mover, and he's an all-round good guy as well. I learned heaps from him, actually. He's like my little brother, but I really, really look up to him. He's going to be a star of the future, that kid. His work ethic is as good as anyone I've ever met. Like, him and Durack have the same sort of, that quality of, this we're talking about Lucy Durack.
Yeah.
Dame Lucy. Dame Durack. That same quality of just really, you know, lovely and nice, but also just incredibly self-motivated and know exactly what they're doing at each and every moment of the day. He's amazing.
And so, do you want to do more of that?
Yeah, definitely. I think TV and film. And that's what I said to my agent during this year. But then sort of Ghost came up and he's like, is this something that you want to go for? And I listened to the music and I was like, yeah, this is really cool. And the character's great fun, and the script is great. It's got some really good moments throughout this piece. So I'm looking forward. It's a proper acting role, I think, this one.
Yeah. Well, you kind of segued without me doing it into Ghost. That was good. Congratulations on that. That's bloody awesome.
Thank you. And just announced, you know, finally today that Gemma Ricks and Alex Rathgaber are in it as well. What a team.
What a team. The bloody... Oh, I was trying to think of a... Something trio. I don't know. We'll think of it later.
What are you? Yeah, so you love the music in Ghost.
Yeah, I'm just thinking Triple Threat Trio. Is that
absolutely not?
I don't know.
Gemma and I are not dancers.
Alex can dance.
Alex is. I was just saying in an interview yesterday. He's one of the old school triple threats that's still around. You know, he can do it all and do it all really, really well.
He's really fugly though.
Yeah, it's good. He's so nice. So for me, I think when we get to rehearsal, I'm like, how are you going to be angry? Like, because he's just always got that beautiful smile.
Yeah,
but you know, he looks quite menacing in the photo shoot that we did.
And yeah, speaking of photo shoots, my God, you're just running this interview yourself. It's awesome. Speaking of photo shoots, the whole like who is Molly hashtag with like Gemma's hands on the pottery for those people that saw it on social media was pretty cool.
Were people like trying to work out whose hands are they? They're pretty mannish.
Well, no. There's a tinge of green on them still. Yeah. Is there a pottery scene in the show? Are you guys going to get your sexy on with the pottery?
I think so. And if not, we'll just. Just going to do it now before we start rehearsals just to really get into it. Yeah. Method. Josh, if you're listening, I love Gemma. She's great.
Josh is Gemma's husband.
Yeah.
Josh Reeks, gorgeous man. So...
Yeah, but there is a pottery scene. Yeah. It's not quite like the film. Just for people listening, if you've seen Dirty Dancing, that is literally the film on stage. This is the film, but just there'll be... Because you have to tell it like a musical still. Mm. So the songs are original. Written by Dave Stewart, another guy who wrote the music for Man in the Mirror, Michael Jackson. He's written songs for Christina Aguilera. He's written songs for Toto. His name escapes me now. What a terrible guy. But
we'll put it on the information page.
Thank you. Dave Stewart from the Eurythmics. I hope he comes out here.
And that'd be cool.
That'd be amazing.
Now, everyone's seen the promo shots from, you know, the Broadway production. Mm. And Richard Fleischman played Sam. And he's ripped.
He's
like
Fight Club ripped.
So what's happening with you between now and, you know, New Year in terms of getting ripped?
I think it's called steroids, is it? creatine? No, I'm
Are you top off? Top off in the show?
Yeah, so I haven't had a beer for about a month. Mm. So beer's out, and vodka's in. I think vodka's off the bench. No, actually I'm pretty much not gonna drink, I don't think, for a long time. And just try and get fit and ripped and all that sort of stuff. Maybe do some pit fit. I've got my mate Adam. He's training me in Sydney. But it's hard, like, when you're touring. Like, I've been touring my show, corporate gigs, and traveling lots lately to get into a routine. So I'm looking forward to, getting into routine and getting Fight Club ripped. So, look, by the time it gets to Melbourne and Sydney, yes, I will be fit. Adelaide...
Getting there.
Be skinny, but not fat. When I got to the Gold Coast after Greece, I had a few weeks off. My girlfriend and I, we moved up there. 84 kilos I tipped the scales at. I'm now down to 77, so that's not bad.
That's good.
Yeah, so 84 was like, come on, mate, you've fatty Zuko.
It's just that bit around... For me, like around your tummy and your back, like you can have, like, you can look really good in clothes. Like, yeah, I've got a good chest, my arms look all right, shoulders looking good. And then it's just that bit of back fat.
You gotta take it. And then when you've gotta take your top off on stage, it's a lot of pressure. I feel like, you know.
Well, yeah. People are gonna wait for it. You're gonna be like, Millsy, get your gear off.
And I'll be like, I'm just wearing like the pants that go up over the muffin top.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, a really high waisted pant. He's holding it in. He's wearing Spanx.
Hey, now look.
Like I'm wearing my shirt.
Changing the subject completely. I'm going to get a bit serious for a sec. Okay. So you've proved, more than proved, I reckon, over the last 10 years that you're definitely a mainstay on, you know, on the commercial musical scene as one of our kind of, you know, leading and most bankable male stars.
Thanks.
And I think that, here's what I think. You can fluke that stuff once, maybe twice. But like when you're going 10 years in and you're still booking gigs, like that doesn't happen by accident, you know. And so I think that's really admirable. And how do you feel about that? Do you feel like you've kind of, not made it, but like do you feel like you've kind of earned your spot now, earned your stripes?
I think the writing this show... this Rob Mills is surprisingly good, helped me realise that There's a certain, yeah, it's weird. There's a certain time in your life where you have to actually acknowledge the fact that you are good enough. Mm. So me owning the fact that I'm surprisingly good, that was me even questioning myself the whole time. Well, oh, I'm sort of just doing this. And I had a good chat with my friend Ben Abraham. He's a singer-songwriter. He goes, and even with his own ability, he was like, yeah, I deserve this basically. I have worked for this, and now it's time for me to own the fact that I'm good enough. So I learnt that. And it's weird to say it in Australia without sounding arrogant, because it's not being arrogant. Because if you were in America, you'd say, yeah, I'm good, man. I'm awesome, you know, I can do this. Everyone would be like, yeah, you can. But in Australia, if you say that, you're like, oh, he's getting a bit ahead of himself, isn't he? Mm-hmm. So I have two older brothers, and, you know, grew up in the burbs, and it's not in our the sort of mindset to be so forthright, I suppose, or and it's not arrogant. It's a confidence or whatever it is, without having the but you know, I'm just sort of just doing it. And so now is the time to actually own up to it and go, I'm doing it. I mean, I don't think they're going to cast me in Oklahoma or in Les Mis or anything like that. And that's not my bag. You know, that's not my sort of my musical theatre voice sits. But if there are still those contemporary sort of rock pop musicals, I love it. And I've got to say, since recognizing that this is what I love all those years ago, probably when I did Grease the Arena Spectacular, and I talk about it in my show, like just being surrounded by so many hardworking, party-going, like this work hard, play hard mentality that musical theatre has is incredible. It's like, this is the people I love. They love life, they love experiences, they love performing, they love each other. It's the most supportive, I think, community in entertainment that there is. Like, so when they opened their arms to me, I gave it right back, you know, just a big warm hug. So, and I didn't want to let them down, and I didn't want to let myself down. So I've just kept working and tried to find ways to get better.
Yeah. Well,
it was a long answer.
I think it just needs to be mentioned that you've earned your spot, and I, you know, and because so many people, with everyone that works in the industry, kind of will be like, oh, well, that's because of that, and that's because of that. But I'm like, nah,
that people always go, oh, you just got the gig. No, I still went into the audition like everyone else,
and you've been doing it a long time, you know, like because I get that a little bit too sometimes. People are like, oh, well, you just got offered that, or you got asked to sing at that thing. It's like, well, I work my face off, you know.
And it's the connections that you make, and it's the networking that you do, and it's the conversations that you have at after parties or at opening nights, and you have to keep positive and keep you have to keep networking, I think, is one of the things I would say to people wanting to get into the industry as well. You're not brown nosing, you're just letting it be known that you are available, that you are keen to do something.
Yeah, networking's not a dirty word.
No. I think, what is it? The squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Yeah. Oh, so smart. And so, you know, and you've had no formal training. Like, you're someone that kind of took an opportunity and ran with it. So, and, you know,
Year 11 drama.
Nah, I'm not going to mention what it was, because it's not important anymore. But we all know. You took an opportunity and you ran with it, and you kind of go back to Greece, and that was where your kind of awakening of, like, you know, these are the people I want to work with, these kind of hardworking, play hard people that a lot of them had kind of trained formally, and you don't have that. So what do you say to, you know, what do you say to formal training? You know, do you kind of wish that you'd had that opportunity or not?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I just wish I'd recognised it earlier that this is what I wanted to do. And I think the earlier that you can recognise that, the easier that it becomes the path, because you've got a goal, you've got a focus. Every time I've had a goal about in life or professional or personal, it just opens, the doors open as soon as you sort of, click into, that's the thing. Formal training, absolutely, I'm all for it. If you can every day practice your craft, that's all it comes down to a lot of time, is just practice. And if it's forced practice, basically. So go for it.
But do you think that there's advantages to no formal training and disadvantages, like, because, you know, as someone that's kind of, you've made it without it, do you think that there are some things that you kind of
that were an advantage to you by not having,
just life experience as well helps. Like I travelled a lot and met a lot of people. I think if you're just going to do formal training, find something else that you like as well outside of your musical theatre. It is good to have, as I said, a sole goal, but it's also just make sure that you're still communicating with everyone else outside of this one industry, because if you don't have anything else as well and you don't get that job, what are you going to fall back on as well? Yeah. So and even friendship-wise and everything, always have friends in different walks of life and different different areas as well. That I think is key to all-rounded success in life and work. But formal training is like it's practice, it's forced practice. So and I'm a terrible self-motivator. So for me, it was like get the job and then you have to learn basically. Yeah. So it helps, and you just performing for me has always been just one of the things I always wanted to do. So auditions, auditions are the hardest thing that we can do in this gig. You might be the best singer, best actor, but if you can't audition, you're not going to get, no one's ever going to see you on the stage. So practicing your performance is just paramount over everything else, making sure that you connect well to the text and connect well to the song that you're singing. That's the most important thing. The other stuff you can learn on the job, I think.
Pick up Corey.
Yeah.
Just for me.
Ask Alex Rathgeber.
Yeah, exactly. What's that two steps? The time step, is it?
Hey, what about Ellen Simpson?
What about it? The rang.
Well, the rang. So I just think that, that's another kind of really admirable thing about you guys, is that you kind of navigate this, great, fun relationship in what is a really unstable, transient industry. So what's the secret with the success of you and Ellen Simpson? Because for people that don't know, Ellen Simpson is a completely successful artist in her own right. And you guys just are making it work.
Well, mate, like with every relationship though, there are ups and downs and sometimes it is tough both being in the same industry. But first and foremost, she is the most talented out of the two of us, without a doubt. She's the triple threat: sing, dance, act. But she directs now. She's always Corrie. She's been Corrieing since she was like 12. And it's very exciting. She just got a new job. So she's going to be resident director and choreographer on Little Shop of Horrors next year.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. Hey, plugging.
So that's like, so Andy and Dean will put the show in, and then she'll go and basically put it in all the other cities. And yeah, she's amazing.
Hey, congrats, Ellen Simpson.
I'm so proud. But even like this morning, she's up in Sydney and she's like, "Babe, what am I going to do for a job for the next couple of months before that starts?" Like we're always trying to find what we're going to do. Dance teaching will dry up because of school holidays, and she teaches extend bar, and she's like, "Maybe I'll just get a job in a bar and work for a few months until a Little Shop starts." Like it's just the reality of our industry.
I start work at Bed Bath & Table in Hawthorne tomorrow. I'm not even joking. For Christmas.
I'm going to go and get some haberdashery.
Haberdashery. What a great word.
Yeah, it's the best. Hey,
I
was a fabrician for a while, so I know all about.
What's fabrician?
You sell fabric.
Is that for real?
Yeah, I don't think it's a real word there. I just like the word. But yeah, there is no secret. There is just, it's just work. I think it's hard work, and there are ups and downs. And especially when you're away from each other in different cities a lot of the time, it's just trying to find a way to communicate. Communication is key. Mm. And I think if she's listening to this, she'll be like, "Then talk to me, Rob."
Rob.
I'm sorry, babe. I'm coming home tonight.
Hey, look, that's the end of the hard stuff. Now you just have to take the Ticket A42 test.
Oh, God. All right.
So here we go. First one is just called The Kid in A42. So which kind of references, obviously, the name of the show, when I knew I wanted to be in the musicale. Did you have a moment? Did you have a kind of epiphany watching something where you were like, "I want to do that"?
I think there's a few moments where I knew I wanted to perform, and I talk about this in my show. It's when I sang on stage for the first time.
Which we've seen video footage of.
In my show, and everyone waves their arms back and forth, and it's just this, wow, people like, this is great. I can move my arms and people do it back. It's great. But as far as musicals, I think I saw Phantom was the first thing that I saw. And I came home and I played that melody on the keyboard. And I was like, this is great. But perform, and then I saw Fame when it first came out here. And I went, wow, that's really cool. I could do that. And then this guy sang this really high note. And I went, I can't do that. Okay, I'm going to be the other guy there. And I think it was just when I did Grease for the first time. But I mean, I grew up watching Mary Poppins and Sound of Music and all those Disney movies. I always wanted to be Aladdin. So it's not really one specific.
It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah, Ziv. You and Doidge, you're in. You're in. I'm a bit old, no, and I can't dance, and no, absolutely not. Gotta keep going. So I'm like, maybe I can. Maybe no, Rob. Just they're young kids who are amazing. But then I don't think there's a sort of one moment. But I remember seeing when I saw. Yeah, I remember just seeing Wicked and seeing Adam Garcia in London, and I went like. I could totally do that. I mean, sure, I couldn't probably dance as well as him, but I could learn. I could learn that. And I loved it. I loved everything about that show. And that was the real moment that I went, this is definitely for me. And my friend then played me some music from the last 5 years and all the stuff that Norbert Leo Butz was doing. I was like, oh, I sound similar. Like, my voice is similar sort of sounding.
Yeah.
Not as good, but it's okay. I can work at that. And yeah, so it was around about 2005, 2006 that I was like, maybe I could give a go at musical theatre. And maybe it was just... lucky timing, maybe. I don't know. I got into it and Frosty seemed to like me, and then I got a few more roles. But once again, it was still had to audition. But yeah, I don't know. I really, really love that first time of seeing Wicked. I think that was a real moment in my life.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm. And then you bloody did it.
And I just did it. And now I still wear the jodhpurs.
still wear the jodhpurs. You got to go see Rob's show somewhere sometime, and he'll show you the jodhpurs.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob Mills, what's got your goat?
What's got my goat? There's a few things, mate. There's a few things. People that don't carpool. Just too much traffic.
Yeah.
Do you know actually what gets my goat? Sydney Airport. The pickup area is the most ridiculous thing that has ever been built. Like, how does that work? It's one lane in, one lane out for thousands of people. Just work it out, Sydney. it's so frustrating. Like, Ellen will come pick me up, babe. This like a it's a half an hour wait. Like, oh, it's ludicrous.
That's got you go. That's definitely
because I've been flying a lot lately. But, just. Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay.
Carpooling and that lane and the pickup lane in at Sydney Airport.
Brill. So this is called Very Superstitious. We theatre creatures can be quite superstitious in terms of our performance, especially in the long run. Do you have any kind of, rituals that you carry out always?
Absolutely not. No, it's always different for me. Like, I could just be talking to the crew just before I walk on stage. Like, that's...
The most relaxed man in showbiz.
That's how relaxed I am. Once I'm in a long running show, but no real rituals. Yeah. I used to be asleep up until probably the 5 minute call in Wicked. Like maybe beginners. Rob, it's beginners. You gotta get on stage. Oh yep, mic on, and we do the mob scene because Fiora's in that mob scene, and then I'd go and have a shower and then get ready for Fiora. That'd be my 15-minute gap of...
Did you shower after the mob. Opening?
Yeah. Oh. And there's the mob and there's, loathing and there's...
But why did you shower?
Because I just woken up. I need to warm up. So,
Do you mean on a two-show day you were sleeping?
Yeah.
Yeah, not like just on a Thursday when you haven't done a two-show day, you just rock into the theatre and then go back to sleep.
Oh, no. Just two-show day.
Okay.
I don't know. I'd always need a nap. I'd go kick the footy in between shows with Dobbo.
Yeah.
Come and have a nap and then... Come on, Rob.
I love that you showered after the opening.
Yeah. And then got ready and...
Well, that's your bloody ritual then. There you go.
Yeah. I like a good shower before the show to warm up. But no real ritual. There was a one in Greece where I had to actually practice the summer nights because it's a really weird harmony for me and I couldn't pitch it out of the air. And a couple of times, it was so bad. All the boys, the T-Birds, the whole ensemble of the boys, would be like, oh! Like, top five worst ever. Or like Chris Dearling would be like, that was your best. That was like, held up the number one finger and go, that was your absolute worst. And people in the audience would go, nerds, or nerds. So I'd have to pitch off the audience. And I reckon there was probably at least 30 or 40 shows where I was just woeful. And Gretel would be like,
Gretel Scott, she would not have liked that.
She didn't like it at all. But we just laugh. And then Amos, Stephen Amos, the musical director, he would be like, I don't know what to say to you. Other than that was terrible. Get it together.
Oh, no.
So I practiced that before I go on stage every night. That was my one. And it was just one of those mind.
Yeah.
Mind things where it's like, you know the note, Rob. Just do it.
Yeah. Weird. Hey, tell me the five things you can't live without.
I think I'm one of those phone people.
Yeah.
Not that I use it all the time. I have to put it down when I'm at restaurants with friends and stuff.
Yeah.
I like that. But I'm addicted. I can't live without footy.
Yeah.
Like 8 months of the year, just smashing out AFL. Hawks won again this year with three-peat.
Yeah.
Maybe go for a four-gasm next year.
Four-gasm.
So there's my phone, footy, music. Just have to have music on all the time. I love it in the car or when I wake up in the morning, listening to new music or live music. Books, I love to read. I'm reading that new Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yes.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And what else? Food, mate.
Food.
Just love
they're
it.
Good. That's a good five. That's a good top
just
five.
Just love of food. Just, you know, a good breakfast will get you going. A good dinner with friends, you know.
That, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Is that it? Is that my five?
That's five. That's five. Have you ever had a diva tanty? Or have you ever seen, you would have seen one, but have you ever had a diva tanty?
Diva tanty. Jurek had a go at me once. Forgive me, no. This is years ago. I was like, oh, good to know. But I was like,
but that's her diva tanty then.
That was her. But I was like, fair enough. It was just a misunderstanding. Yeah. Not really. Nah.
Yeah, I can't imagine you would have one.
I don't really care so much. If people are talking on stage when I'm doing stuff, I'm like, I'm sure it was funny. So I just probably had some FOMO because I didn't know what they were talking about. Mate, I'm not very precious. I was just saying it to Gemma yesterday. And what I love about her, she's open, upfront, honest as well. So like, if there's anything that you don't like that I'm doing, just tell me straight away and we can work it out. Like whether it's an acting choice you're not sure of or whether it's me singing bad. Let's just tell me and we'll sort it out. I prefer that. In everything, in my friendships, in a professional working sense. I remember saying to Kelly Dickerson all those years ago, just tell me if I'm doing it wrong. She's like, cool, just, it's all right, so you're flat here, you're sharp here. I was like, oh, great. So how do I fix it? She's like, well, just, here's some options, maybe try this. So I like to just get it right.
Yeah.
So I'm not precious at all. I don't think I'll have a diva spat.
Who's your phone a friend when you just like who's your one stop shop for good news, bad news, advice, all that stuff?
One of my best mates, Michael. He lives up on the Gold Coast. He's a bit older, successful business guy, not in the industry at all, but just always good for a chat, a laugh, advice. You know, he's gone through marriage, he's got kids. It's like he's like an older brother kind of thing. But also, even as far as friend goes, but my eldest brother actually as well. He's a very good sounding board.
Yeah. Showmance, show crush. Mm. So, you know, we all get him.
Simpson.
Well, yeah, you've got the ultimate one.
Yeah, well, she's the only one I've been with in a show.
Yeah, but you can have one that's like defies age, availability, sexuality, you know, talent crush, whatever.
Okay.
So Ellen Simpson's your real one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then have you ever had like a massive talent crush on someone?
Amanda Harrison.
Yeah.
But only when she was green.
Is that weird?
It's the weirdest. Like, because Harry is like Harry, but when she's green, I was like, you are the most sexy, attractive thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was weird. I told her one day, she's like, that's really weird.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, she was, I think, one of seven alphabets, and she was the first, the original, and she absolutely, by far, the best.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jim. I know we're doing ghosts together, but Amanda's just had everything. She's just incredible. I loved working with her. She was so, same. I think I learned a lot about her. She was upfront, honest. If she didn't like something, Mills, this is not good enough, or this is can we do this better, or how can we make this work? She was so honest, and I remember we sang at a Foxtel special, and my microphone was, I didn't want to sing over her, so I was putting my microphone away, and she noticed that, and she leant forward during the song and pushed my microphone closer to my mouth to make sure that the blend was right. I was like, what a performer. Like, what?
Yeah.
Seamless. But yeah, she'd be my... my show crash, but only when she's
great. Only when she's great. Hey, a genie grants you three bottles. A genie grants you three wishes.
Yeah, three bottles.
What are they?
I'd like infinite wealth, just so I could just do whatever. I think.
Yeah.
Wealth is something that you shouldn't aspire to, but it helps, I think, in helping you achieve other stuff.
Mm.
So infinite wealth would be great.
Yeah.
World peace. Actually, I would love that.
Yeah.
Just love everyone just to get along. Yeah. That's my one goal in life, is to make sure everyone's just high-fiving each other, giving each other a hug. Hey, Matt, good to see you. You know? Yeah. And for a super thriving, successful career, and for everyone to get along and see more live theatre, for people to actually go out and experience, that would be a great wish for me, actually. I know we do it in Melbourne especially, celebrate sport a lot, but also we celebrate theatre. We go along and see it. But if you get out from your TV screens and your movies and go out and your Netflix and go out and see something live, that would be great. If our industry continued to thrive and there was more work for all my friends and we could keep doing this forever and ever.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
They're bloody good ones.
Is that right?
Yeah. Hey, this is called Switcheroo, so you can ask me a question.
Free chicken for everyone.
Free chicken and beer. You're not drinking it at the moment.
Oh, chicken and beer when I'm not. Yeah, we're after that, we'll get off. Yeah.
Have you got a question you want to ask me? You know everything. No, you don't know everything.
We had a great. We've had a few car trips in the Duke.
Love
the Duke. It's love that day.
Yeah, me too.
A trip down to Geelong.
Yeah.
What's your ultimate role? What do you want to do?
I want to play Hedwig.
You know what's coming here.
Well, yeah, I've heard the rumours, but, anything pop rock contemporary, same.
You'd be a great Hedwig.
That's what I want to do. But I also really want to...
last time, did he? And I don't know, I think Falzon's
done it.
Yeah,
Falzon's done it, Iota's done it.
That's the next, it's an obvious progression.
NPH has done it, you know.
That's a great one. What about, and tell me about more of this, I've got another question for you, can I have another question? Radio. What's happening? Are we doing a duet? Are we doing a duo?
Millsy and Jono in the morning. No, I've spent some time down the country, you know, at TRFM in Traralgon. Look, just working towards it, you know. So what you've kind of talked about, just being proactive and making sure you are, you know, you don't just say you want to do it, you actually work towards doing it. So I definitely want to work in radio, and I'm definitely working towards it. But it's stepping stones. You know, there are people that have been I'm not 20, so there are people that have worked for 15 years, you know, to get where they are at my age in the radio industry. And so you have to take your spot in the line, you know.
If it meant working in the country again, you'd be like, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, for a bit. Like, I wouldn't want to live in the country forever, but I would go there to work towards coming back into the city.
Well, I think... you are an absolute winner, Jono Hara.
They gave me my breaks, so that because I hosted midnight till 3, and so they gave me my little air breaks, which is the little, you know, the little bits that you say in between songs and commercials and stuff. And I thought, I'll buy that. I could. That's the guy on the radio.
I know that guy. He sounds surprisingly good.
Yeah, so we'll see. 2016. Who bloody knows?
Yeah, mate. I don't know. Like, this is the thing. Like, this job will go for 6 months, and then. What happens then? We're back to trying to work out. So I think I'm
Bed, Bath and Table.
Maybe. Maybe we should do another double show.
Yeah, I'd do that.
Are you writing another show?
Yes. Our team is, we're talking about what is next. So, we've got a few ideas and, it won't be next year that we'll put it on, but we'll start working towards it next year.
Yeah.
Everyone, they're all bloody doing the Sound of Music, so.
Bloody.
With a daddo. With a daddo and a La Palma. Hey, what's a secret skill that you've got that no one knows about?
A secret skill? I'm a very good tambourine player.
Good rhythm.
I've got good rhythm, yeah.
Yeah.
And can play a mighty kazoo. And what else? Oh, I'm not a bad footy player.
Brill.
I'm not a bad Aussie rules player.
Yeah.
I play AFL nines every time I get a chance. I kick the footy once a week at least.
What's AFL nines?
So it's like touch AFL.
Oh.
Yeah.
I learnt something today. Yeah. Didn't know that.
AFL nines, you can play it. Check it out on the website, AFL9s.com.au.
Okay. Yeah. I will. Hey, look, this is nearly the end.
Musical theatre and AFL. I mean, that's one of my dreams as well, to make, you know, the AFL musical.
I saw...
There's got to be something, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's got to be something. There was some workshop of some... Maybe, I don't know, I'm really bad
the
with
Barassi the sport. One?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a Barassi one.
Yeah.
I'm going to... Oh, yeah. I don't know. That would be a dream, to be in a movie or a TV show or a musical with about AFL.
You get to play footy and you get to have a sing.
How's that good? That's my dream.
That's your dream. Yeah. Network 7, listen here.
Yeah.
This is the last Ticket A42 question. It's called This or That.
Okay.
It's just a few quick fire questions. You just answer one or the other.
Okay.
So, sweet or savoury?
Sweet.
Dog or cat?
Dog.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Mum or dad?
Mumsy.
Black or white?
Black.
In or out?
In.
Walk or run?
Run.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Sydney or Melbourne?
Can't decide. No.
Beer or wine?
Oh. Cut aside.
Gillian Cosgrove did the last interview and she said, "Bwine."
Then yes.
Bwine.
I agree.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Salt or pepper?
Salt.
Boxes or briefs?
Briefs.
Christmas or birthdays?
Christmas for everyone.
Yeah. Kisses or hugs?
Hugs.
Hot or cold?
Hot.
Boy or girl?
Both.
Mates or dates?
Mates.
Day or night?
Night, for sure.
His or hers?
His?
Me or you?
Me or you? That's a good one.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, that's kind of it. We're just going to shamelessly plug Ghost quickly. So for people that you'd have to be living under a rock if you listen to this podcast and didn't realise that Ghost was opening. But so performances commence in Adelaide from January 8th, right?
Yeah. Yep, good to know. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. So you start rehearsals when?
30th of November.
Yeah, in Sydney.
And then we got a few days off over Christmas.
Yeah.
And then we go to Adelaide and then Melbourne, Sydney, Perth, and that's it.
Yeah.
Sure. So sorry, Queensland, if you're listening. Mm. We're not going to be there.
Not going to happen. But all the details for tickets can be found at ghostthemusical.com.au. Rob Mills is on Twitter and Instagram if you want to... give him
Facebook,
Rob Millsy Mills. It's just at Rob Millsy Mills.
Yeah.
So give him a shout out if you want. And he's got I looked at your website this morning.
It's okay.
Yeah, robmills.net.au.
It needs updating.
No, I like all the photos though. They're good. Handsome. I like how the Twitter thing comes up.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. That's my web designer. She's very good.
Very good. My Twitter and Instagram is John James O'Hara. And thanks for all the feedback. Make sure when you tweet me, you use the hashtag TicketA42 and I can add all the stuff that you want into the next interview. Thanks for listening, guys. Rob and I are going to have a quick selfie and we'll see you on the next interview. Thank you, Rob Mills.
Hey, have a great show today.
I will.
This podcast was produced by Matt Edwards for AussieTheatre.com.